With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sap, sap, sap. Earnest, earnest, earnest. Yeah, bleh, gross, puke.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
Today, we do not have any policy wonks. We do not have any musicians. We don't have any guests. So...
you're stuck with us.
Yeah, sit down. Strap on. Strap in. Strap in.
Strap on.
strap in. Or whatever you're... in. Honestly, whatever. And just get ready, because it's going to be a bit of a spiral. It's been a while.
Yeah, and a lot has gone on. I mean, you could start with what you just told me about the time change.
The fucking time change. Oh. Oh, my God. It's really interesting, because time changes have never really bothered me. And as a morning person, even when Lexton was little and would still wake up really early, it didn't really bother me.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason... the time change last fall and the time change this week it's awful.
Yeah.
I don't know why I cannot adjust.
So, are you tired?
I'm tired. I have gone to bed later than I'd like. I've woken up later than I'd like. Like everything, it feels like I was in this steady routine and everything just got completely disrupted.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's driving me crazy. And part of it, I think, honestly, is... I finally adjusted to having daylight in the morning when I woke up, and Now it's back to dark, And that sucks. And it snowed today.
It's snowing?
It's flurrying. I'm not going to say it's snowing. I know there are people that have a lot of snow. I'm just kind of done with it.
Boston is supposed to get 21 inches.
I know. God, they are getting hit so hard. The East.
Yeah.
To anyone listening out there, if you have power to listen, I'm sorry. Because that looks terrible.
I've lived through those types of winters, and they are just miserable. And you have all of my sympathy, all of it, especially yes. The snow shoveling.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, I mean, sure, it just flurries. I know. It could be a lot worse. I'm done with that phase of the season.
Is Lexon having a hard time adjusting?
He's not. He was fine. I let him stay up late on Sunday just because of the time change, and he... went right to sleep and woke up. And I mean, he grumbles about being tired because he's, you know, almost 14. But no, otherwise he's been okay.
Yeah.
Like he tells me that it's really messing with him. But there's really no indication. I think he's just trying to make me not feel alone with feeling miserable. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But damn, is it rough. Are you guys, I mean, is it bad on your end?
I'm a lot more tired than, I don't remember... as an adult feeling this tired with this time change. I'm having a hard time. Like you said, like we would drive to school and it would be really bright outside, and now it's not nearly as bright. And even though I went to bed like at a reasonable hour and woke up at a reasonable hour, like yesterday at like noon in the middle of my riding day, I felt like somebody had drugged me, like roofied me. And I had to lie down for like 15 minutes just because it was just like so painful. And then Lita got home. She always comes in the door and she's like, you know, runs to me to give me a hug. And she did. And she's like, Mom, why am I so tired? And she was on the verge of tears. And I was like, I know, I'm so sorry. There's this policy. This is policy about time changing.
Which is ridiculous. My little niece who just turned 7 decided on Monday that she wasn't going to go to school because it wasn't the normal time. Which, honestly, thumbs up to that, because it's so hard to explain that we have to change the clocks and that the whole 24 hours of the day shifts, but nothing actually changes.
This is such a stupid complaint, but the worst part about it, other than the fatigue, is that every single clock... like at least the iPhone automatically and your the computers automatically change time.
Right.
But I have like this you know, this alarm clock, I think we talked about it, that a light comes on like it, gradually for like 30 minutes. I had to break out the instructions to figure out how to change that time. And then I had to change the time on the oven. And then I had to change the time on the microwave. And then I had to change the time in the car. And each of those devices requires like 70 different steps, and they're all different from each other. It's like, oh.
Oh, yeah. See, the trick is with the car to just never change it. Because I didn't change it in the fall. Because it's got like two clocks. It's got the car clock, and then it's got the clock from my phone,
mm-hmm.
which is usually the one I look at. So I've always got a correct clock. But the issue is the only time I ever think to change it is when I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't change it when you're driving. It doesn't let you. You have to be fully parked.
Right.
But then I park and turn the car off and forget. Yeah. It's like they're not big things, but I think those are the reasons that people despise the time change, because it just, it throws every little tiny thing off.
Yeah. Peter Dow, he's in politics. He worked for Hillary, I believe. He did a poll on Twitter about daylight savings time and like, should we do away with it? Should we keep it? Or we don't care. And there were like 60,000 votes, and like 60% of the people were like, please make it stop. Please make this stop. Please, can we do away with this bullshit? And he kept hammering at it, like, make it go away. Let's make a policy change.
I just don't understand. I know why it existed, but I don't understand why it needs to still exist.
It just, you know what it does? It fucks with families.
That's why. And that's what I love. Every time change, there's always on Twitter, there's always the people that are like, you know, before kids, time changes, they didn't really matter. Exactly. Now that I have kids, they are the worst thing in the world.
It's the worst thing in the world. I may have said this before, but my friend Kate, she had a son, about a year before I had Marlo. And she had a really, really, really rough year the first year. He was colicky and, you know, picky and kind of like Lita. And when he was about a year old or so, you know, that the time change in the fall, which is usually really fun for, because you get to sleep in an extra hour, right? Except that kids don't understand that. And getting a kid to stay awake an extra hour to go to bed an hour later than normal when they're that little is really, really, really difficult, because they become really grumpy and awful and terrible. And so she started throwing end of daylight savings time parties where bring your kids and we will keep them awake that extra hour together.
That is so awesome.
It was awesome. And even now that I believe he's 10, she still throws the party. It's just a tradition.
That's an amazing idea, though.
It is. It's like,
because with all the energy from the kids, I mean, they're just going to stay up anyway.
They're
going to
stay up. And it's like, let's band together against this policy.
Which is total bullshit. That's an amazing idea. I really like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I remember when Lexton was little, there was one year. It was like one year in particular where we sprung forward. And I remember that very first night, him just sitting on the sofa sobbing because he was convinced that we were lying to him about the time, because it was still light out. So he thought we just turned the clocks to fuck with him. But how do you explain? That's what's so hard, because there's really no good reason that
there,
we do
there
it.
Were these farmers.
Right.
And they,
right, we do it for the farmers that you never see.
They do it for the wheat that you eat.
That's right. You have bread because of daylight savings time.
It also came at, okay, last week. Dear Lord God, last week. Oh my God.
It was a busy week for you.
It was a busy week. Lita had a play, and she was in that play for 9 straight nights. And then the last 2 days, she had a matinee and an evening performance.
Oh my God, two? How many hours between?
Like an hour and a half.
Oh my.
That was every night, every single night. And the 2 weeks before that, she was practicing until 6 o'clock at night. So this has been a hell of a month. And then last week was like the climax or pinnacle of it all, because she had to play every night. And then they had to play their two solo pieces in front of the judges at Piano Federation on Saturday. So on Saturday, they play their pieces at 10 o'clock in the morning. Then Lita had her call time at 11:30. She had a matinee. Then she had an hour. And then she had to go back to do her play, her final play.
Good Lord.
Yeah. The pressure, she's 14. And, you know, this has been really rough on her. A lot of pressure. She's like, you know, I wanted them to give me homework, but they only gave me homework the week of the play. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would they do that to me?
And it's a school play, right?
Yeah. Like, because some teachers like to fuck with you. No, and I mean, no ill will towards teachers, but I had a few professors in college who were totally fucking with their students doing shit like that. My God, they killed it at Federation. Can I tell this little story really quick?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm going to call her a little motherfucker is what I'm going to call her, because I would do it on my website. I'm going to do it on my podcast. So they were scheduled to play at the same time. And this happens a lot. And what you do is you have to like request that one of the siblings goes first so that you can sneak out and then go see the other sibling play. Because they do it in these rooms in this building on a college campus.
I did a similar competition a couple years in high school, actually.
With the flute?
Possibly. Yes. Couple duets, couple solos. Yep. I was big with the ladies, as you might imagine.
I love that about you. I really do love that about you. So my mom is there. It's my mom and my dad, my mom and my stepdad, and John was here. John was lovely this week, by the way. John really stepped up and helped and took a lot of the burden off of me of like, you know, going back and forth between school and all that kind of stuff. I really appreciated his help this week because he was here for it.
That's good.
So he was there in the room and I was there and she went first. And this sort of ties back.
Wait. Lita went first?
Marlo, sorry.
Marlo went first.
This is Marlo.
I should have known from Little Motherfucker. I should have picked it up, but just clarifying.
This ties back to what Jesse said last week about, he asked if there was a competitive aspect to the piano playing. And
oh, yeah.
The woman in the room stood up and she said, "Welcome to Piano Federation," because she knew these were all little children. "And if this is your first time, please understand that this is not a competition. This is a celebration of your hard work and your skill and your talent." And I love that she said that, because that's what it is. It's like a celebration of all this hard work that you put in every single night working on these pieces.
Right. It's basically competing with yourself. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you practiced it. You want to get it perfect.
Yeah. And in the days leading up to Federation, Marlo would practice and butcher the shit out of them. Like, and I didn't understand, because she's played these pieces for four or five months and she was just butchering them. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, there's nothing I can do at this point because I am so maxed out. I am so stretched thin that, you know, we'll go and we'll just celebrate the fact that she's even playing.
Sure.
We get into the room and the woman sits down, I sit down. And then Marlo introduces herself and she announces her pieces and then she sits down. And the judge is not at her to go. And I am sitting so that she can see my eyes over the top of the piano.
Okay.
And there was this moment before she put her fingers on the keys where she got this look on her face like, "I'm showing you motherfuckers what's going to be up."
Like a smirk, basically.
Totally,
yeah.
Like something clicked inside of that kid. And she played those pieces better than she has ever played them before, ever. Perfectly. All the dynamics. There's a part in one song where she has to hit the keys really hard and come off of them really fast. And every time she did that, she would raise her hand in the air really dramatically. She was performing like Mick Jagger on that piano.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was just like, you put me through hell practicing. And then you go on stage and you're just like, yep, I am good at this shit.
I feel like she's got this like Dennis the Menace running through her. Like, I'm going to push you absolutely to the edge and completely fuck with your head, but it's going to be cool. Don't worry about it.
She nailed both pieces. And like, I was just like And I, as a mother, I was just crying so hard. I was crying so hard. Had to pull it together because we had to go see Lita.
Well, and what was her, I mean, after she was done, what was her reaction? Just like really proud, or she knew?
She was just like, I don't ever have to play those pieces ever again.
Okay, that was her. Okay. That is awesome.
We're done with that. She was really happy with herself. And then Lita, because she's been so busy, hasn't had her normal time to practice her stuff, and her pieces are really difficult. And she had a Mozart piece that she had to play, and she played that one first, and I was really scared about that one because she wasn't where she normally is. And again, I'm sitting in her line of sight. She sat down and she played that Mozart piece, and she played it beautifully, like the best she's ever played it. Like, both of my kids, when it's time to step up, they really step up. And then the second piece she plays is this gorgeous dynamic, like it gets loud and then soft and then loud and then soft. And there's no better person on the planet who does that better than Lita Armstrong. And literally the room was vibrating with like how soft she would get and then how emotional it would get as it would build. It was like it was unbelievable how she was playing this piece. And then she got to the end, and then the ending line goes from the bottom, like the goes from the bass all the way to the treble to the top, just this one line. And she did it, and she messed up as she was doing it, and she looked up at me, and I looked at her, and she covered, she went back down, and then she did it again, and she messed up again. Then she covered, and she went back down, and then she did the final run the way it was supposed to be. So what she did is she did her Lita superpower thing, where when she messes up, she doesn't freeze, she doesn't stop, she just covers it up, which I thought was just like the perfect cap. Like, you just showed them your superpower. And when it was over, she was just devastated. She was so mad at herself because she had messed up that line. And I was like, honey, that is your superpower. That is a skill that they recognize in you. And because she's done that before and gotten a really good grade score on it. And I was like, it was the most perfect way to end that was to show them, when I mess up, I don't freeze. I still can feel the music. And when it was over, the woman in charge of the room was like, well, that was some emotional playing there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And wow. It was just, my God. And when it was over, it was like, you know, when you took exams in college and it was over?
Yeah. Like that incredible sense of relief.
Yeah. For me. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I feel anytime any like major school project hurdle is crossed, I feel this tremendous weight off my shoulders. And it's not even my project.
Yeah. Yes.
But I think you just instinctively take on some of that. Yes. Even if they don't need help, you kind of just take it on because you know it's coming.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny because I was just realizing there's actually a big project that Lexton has right now that involves a speech.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't really enjoy that, to put it mildly. And I realized after we had a little bit of a confrontation last night that we've somehow developed this dynamic where when he completely shuts down and loses his shit, somehow I keep my cool. And the reverse, it turns out, is also true. Because he procrastinated the shit out of this project and didn't talk about it until we have about 24 hours to finish it. And I'm losing my mind because it takes some time to build a presentation and note cards and practice and, you know. But the whole time that I'm freaking out, he's looking at me like as calm as can be. He's like, we're going to get this. It's going to be okay. We're going to do it. Which in hindsight was good, but in the moment was even more infuriating because we don't have to do shit. It's not my speech, but somehow it's going to consume me.
Exactly.
And I know that. A little bit of a tangent, but.
No. As parents, we're so involved, we're so entangled in their sense of self and their sense of accomplishment and their sense of, you know, And then once the two plays were over, like Sunday, she woke up and she's like, I feel like I've been hit by a truck, Mom. And I'm like, yeah, welcome to adulthood.
Yep.
At 14. Welcome. Yep. This, I said, welcome to high school. Welcome to college. Welcome to the rest of your life. This is what it is.
Yep. And yep. That realization, like that, wow, the weekends are only 2 days. I wish they were longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody does. That's common.
Yeah. She was really, she got really upset and then started to do the depression spiral last week when she was like, I just realized that we only have one day to recover. We only have Sunday to recover. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We only have one day.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. Oh. And there's no answer. There's no, we're going to do this.
No, and you don't want to say to her, welcome to the rest of your life. This is the way it's going to be.
Right.
It's like, I know it's difficult. I know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I only have one day too, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think the other thing too that is worth pointing out is she wants to play piano. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be in the play.
Yes.
Like if you're worried about the recovery time, then you shouldn't have been in the play. And I'm not saying she shouldn't have been, but I think like at a certain point you're making your own schedule.
She did say she so did admit trade-off. She admitted to that. She said, I know.
Really? Like, I know, said, I did it to myself.
She said, yeah, I know. I wanted to do this. I know. You told me that it was going to be a huge time commitment. I know. I take responsibility for it. I know.
So. It's like, I take responsibility, but I'm still going to complain, which honestly, I would do the same thing. So I totally don't judge her, but that's yeah. A big step, I think, to mm-hmm. acknowledge that. Like, I feel this way because I chose to do these things. Mm-hmm. They're good things and it's a good kind of tired, but it's still, you know, it's not like someone did something to you or put you in this place.
Yeah.
But the fact that she didn't freeze, to jump back to that really quick, but not only that, the fact that she didn't freeze, but also refused to finish until she got it.
Yeah.
Is pretty incredible. I think that is incredible in any situation. I mean, I look at like the Olympians who fall right. and then get up like nothing happened. That to me is far more impressive than the ones who flawlessly perform.
I have to, you know, it's hard for me to watch her. And I'm sure it's hard for you too. Like when our kids are tired and they're cranky and they're depressed or they're sad, like it's hard. But at the same time, it's like, oh, you're learning this. You're learning. You're growing. You're learning. Like this is, you know, this is why you have kids, is so that you can enjoy this process of them discovering life. Right. And in fact, she sort of got some, I won't reveal too much, but she got some bad news sort of at the end of the play concerning one of her friends. And she woke up on Sunday morning and was devastated by it. Like she didn't want to hear, well, you know, this is just, we all go through this. She didn't want to hear that. She didn't want to hear this is a universal human experience is to be devastated by this kind of thing. So I did what my mom does. My mom is so good at comforting. My mom is like, this must be so horrible for you. This must be just awful. I am so sorry. What can I do for you? And after the week that I have had with her, after one particular night, I talked with her on Sunday morning for about 30 minutes about this whole situation. And at the end, she just reached over and hugged me and said, I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to me. And I breathed the huge sigh of relief because we have butted heads this week more than we've ever butted heads. And
the week of the play started pretty rough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a certain evening where I didn't give her a certain reaction that she wanted. And she took that as a cue to basically ridicule me to my face.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I don't have, you know, a partner who's there to say, don't talk to your mother like that. Like, you don't get to talk to your mom like that at all. Or any adult.
Or anybody, really.
Anybody. And yeah. I And I was like, this isn't you. Like, you, this is not Lita. Like, why are you talking to me like this? This is not your normal behavior. And we both went to bed crying. And I was like, am I going to lose her? I don't want to lose her. So on Sunday, when she reached over and she just grabbed me and hugged me and said, thank you so much for being here and for loving me and for listening to me. And I was like, okay. 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 She's still here. She's still here.
Well, I think I've been thinking a lot about that because you, I mean, I feel like every person I talk to, when they find out Lexton is, you know, a teenager, going to be 14, there's always this sort of joke exchange that happens, like, oh, and he's going to hate you for the next 5 years. Like, as a teenager, you have to hate your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I never did. I never really went through that. Like, we had our moments, you know, you get embarrassed of your parents, but I never had that. But hearing that enough, whether you're a single parent or not, I feel like it kind of lets this underlying fear seep in. That is exactly what you're talking about. Like, oh my God, am I going to lose her?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this the point where we kind of go our separate ways for a while? And it's kind of a horrifying, it's kind of a horrifying thing.
Well, it's, I did a lot. I didn't go through it. I never spoke to my parents like that. And I'd never really felt that way about my, like, my mother was my best friend. I never got mad at her for asking me to do anything, you know, like we had a set of chores every week and I did my homework. And so for me to be raising a child who had the inclination to speak to me a certain way and to take a certain tone with me was just, it was like, am I going to lose this connection that is so important to me? Like, our connection is so strong, and it's part of who I am, this connection. And like, I don't want to lose it. I said, I posted a picture to Instagram and I didn't even have to think about the caption. It was just like, there's nothing more in life that I love more than being their mother. Like, this is, my life is dedicated to those two kids. Everything revolves around them. Everything does. That hug on Sunday morning was just kind of a transcendental moment. Sap, sap, sap. Earnest, earnest, earnest. Yeah, bleh, gross, puke.
Right. But it's exactly what you needed.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a hell of a way to close out not only a difficult week just with things, but a difficult week emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
They are both at that age, though, where they're capable of dealing out some pretty harsh blows.
Yeah.
Someone made this comment about the students in Parkland who are speaking out, and it was a general comment about teens, and I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but it was something to the effect of, I'm glad, it basically, like, teenagers have this innate ability to be incredibly ruthless anyway. Uh-huh. So it's nice that this now has a direction.
Yeah.
Because exactly. They do have that ability to just cut you down. And it's incredible.
They haven't yet been totally indoctrinated with there's a certain decorum about how you go about things, right? That right. They're not yet completely versed on that decorum. And right now, that quality is amazing to be put in that direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's some times where I just, like you want to say something, but at the same time, you're just so damn proud because there, you feel like even if maybe what they say or their attitude is not appropriate, it kind of indicates that they're getting it. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was last week or the week before. I don't even remember what Lexton said, but he said something and Heather said, told him to not be sassy. That's her go-to word is sassy. And he turns around and looks her right in the eye and says, I'm not being sassy. I'm being sarcastic. And I was kind of just jaw dropped because he was correct. I mean, he shouldn't have really said anything, but it was just brilliant. Like she didn't even know what to say because he was telling the truth and it was awesome. So that's what I mean. Like not really proud, but you're like, okay, you get it. You were being sarcastic. Congratulations on appropriately identifying that. It was great.
That's a good moment. You probably shouldn't laugh at it, but that's a really good moment.
Oh no, it was awesome. It was, oh my God, it was great. But you didn't lose her. So see, everything mm-hmm. comes back around to a full week that's completely screwed again for a different reason.
Oh, it's just, and trying to write during all of what was going on. And there was a couple days where my babysitter had canceled. So, and Marlo got sick. And so I had to, like, there were two of my writing days got completely obliterated because I didn't have childcare and Marlo got sick and I had to go pick her up from school and take care of her. And oh my God, it's one of those weeks where it's like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to get frustrated because there's nothing I can do, which is right. A completely different approach than what I would have taken a year ago. It was a year ago that I started treatment and
electroshock therapy. You mean
it wasn't electroshock therapy?
I will give you as many opportunities as possible to say that because I know that no matter how many you have, people will not hear it.
People will not hear it. No. And like, I felt myself like letting go. Oh, like I felt myself as the week sort of crumbled around me, I felt myself like, okay, there's nothing I can do about this right now. And there's no reason for me to worry. I will make it up next week. I'll do it next week. I'll just get to it next week. If I can't do it right now, don't get frustrated. And that's a long way that I've come to be able to do that.
Well, it's such a freeing way to exist. And I know there's some people who would say, well, you're giving up or you're, you know, throwing in the towel. But there are honestly just times where that is the only option because like you said, it's out of your hands. You just can't do anything. So you could be angry about it all day, but it's not going to change. You could make 10 phone calls to 10 different people. It's still not going to change. So you just accept it and work around it or with it.
Well, also it was Wednesday. Yeah, that was the day. Oh my God. I was about 500 words away from the goal of the day and my phone rang and I looked at the number.
Oh no.
And I was like, Do I answer it? And so I answered it. And she's like, hello, Heather. This is Cindy from school. She calls her little Marlo because Marlo's been there so many times. Little Marlo is sitting here and, she said she had a stomach ache. And so I gave her an ice pack and I sent her back to her class and I told her to stay there for at least an hour because she's like concerned about me.
Oh, like she knows that you have stuff like buy you time.
Yeah. She's like trying to buy me time. And she's like, but she came back and said that she feels like she's going to throw up. Would you like to talk to her? And I said, yeah, put her on the phone. So she hands the phone to Marlo and it's complete silence. And she's like, say hello. She goes, hello.
That's it. Oh my God.
I said, hey, are you okay? Huh? Marlo, are you okay? I don't know.
Oh my God. That is so helpful.
I was like, Marlo, do you feel well? No.
Oh God.
I was like, okay, I'll be there in just a minute.
I'm like, hang on, I got 500 words to go.
Exactly.
I'll be there when I can. If she's clearly that indifferent, like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't feel okay. Oh man, that's rough.
But you know, we got an interview in last week with one of my favorite artists.
Which was awesome. Our longest episode ever too, which I think says something. He was great.
He was great. He was a joy to speak with.
Yes.
And we also launched our Patreon. We did.
Soft launch, which I guess this is now the launch launch.
This is now the launch. After we've spiraled through all the child bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, we launched our Patreon this week with a video of the two of us. It's not my normal setup in the video. Is that setup in the video?
No, and I don't normally look that fucking stiff and awkward. That's just a bonus, I guess. It's terrible. So I'm so sorry to everyone.
By the way, when Ryan was editing it, when he first started editing, he goes, I can see your face, but I can't see John's.
Well, and I think what's funny, and this is a testament, I think, to how fantastic Ryan is. The video, it's like 5 minutes or something. But the video that we sent him was like 16.
Yeah, at least
16. But somehow, he edited it in such a way that you don't even feel like anything has been spliced together.
Uh-huh.
Which is completely phenomenal. And I admittedly, it's been a little while since I've watched the 5 minute video, but in the original video, there was like a little blip at the end where I awkwardly popped my face out from behind the mic. And I don't know if that made the final cut. So now you really do just see me from like the bridge of my nose up, which is not weird at all. You had a way better angle and you had a selfie light for it, which was
Selfie light. It still wasn't as professional as the YouTubers. Like the YouTubers have like this amazing light setups where their skin is flawless and their makeup is done. And the selfie light.
It's worth mentioning that was actually recorded before I started glowing. So I just need to get that out there. That's not indicative of my current natural glow. I don't even know. I don't even think I had a beard then. Maybe I did. It's been a while, though.
It's been a while. Yeah, we recorded that last year, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, it took us a while to do it. Ryan's got a lot going on. It's like,
yeah,
it's, you know, busy people. So
there's a lot going on. So we launched the Patreon for those who want to throw in a couple bucks a month to help support the production of this podcast. Like I said, Ryan is just a pro and we want to keep him going, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And none of you want to know what this would sound like without him, because it would not be like this.
Ryan is a perfectionist, so, which is good. So
take a look. I think we talked about it before briefly, but there's some rewards for backing us every month. And once we hit, I think it's 250 patrons, we have agreed to read erotic fiction, which is horrifying, really.
Your voice is much better suited for that, I think, than mine.
I'm happy to read all the erotic fiction. I have so much of it on my shelf that I'll just pick one and take it from there. I posted an Instagram story, I don't know, last week or something, in which I was actually reading a story, and someone left a comment, and I don't remember the exact term. I'm going to see if I can like pull it up right now. She said, you could be an ASMR artist, which I was not entirely familiar with what that is, but I think it's sounds that put you to sleep, basically. It's autonomous sensory meridian response is a term used for an experience characterized by a static-like or tingling sensation of the skin. Oh God, no, this is way weirder than I thought it was. What the fuck? It was definitely a compliment and I appreciate it, but
you have a radio voice. Like, and I think that's one of the best qualities of what we do, is that your voice really does sound like it's supposed to be on the radio.
So I'm meant to read erotic fiction.
You're meant to really read it.
Yeah.
Which, by just a tangent, by the way, I can't believe I missed this. There was a conference here last week. I think it was hosted by the church against pornography. They're really trying to regulate pornography here.
Let's really focus on the genuine problems.
And they're calling it a serious public health crisis.
Oh God,
that is demonizing our children. Oh, God.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some stuff out there that probably doesn't need to be out there, but let people have their porn.
I know.
I mean, there's a lot worse in the world.
Oh, public health crisis.
You should have gone. Oh, you could have done a live Instagram story from the anti-porn convention.
I could have. I don't know why I didn't
missed
go.
Opportunity. And was this past weekend?
I think it was last weekend. Yeah, which is funny because I just signed up for a porn site. I just got a subscription.
Shut up. Hang on a second. What? You're not kidding.
Tasteful porn. Yeah. Tasteful stuff.
Tasteful porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, we can
let's
talk
elaborate.
About...
Hang on. No. This is. Hang on a second here.
Oh,
tasteful.
Tasteful.
Tasteful porn. So what prompted this exactly?
Okay. So back in 2006.
Primarily, I'm looking for the link here. So just to be clear.
No. So I was married and I didn't. Fine. Whatever. I grew up Mormon. Okay. Masturbating is a sin. Okay.
Right.
There's an actual video.
Right up there with coffee.
There's a video out there about the factory in men. They call it a little factory. And that naturally takes care of itself in your sleep so that you don't have to take care of it.
What? Was this put out by the church?
Yes.
Oh, and amazing. Do you have a link to that?
I'm going to get a link to it.
Oh, shit.
And there's a whole talk by one of the general authorities about the little factory in men and how masturbation is it erodes the soul. So I grew
need to
up,
know about the little factory.
Yeah, the little factory.
Oh, man.
It takes care of itself when you're asleep.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't discover, I cannot believe that we have spiraled here. I never masturbated.
Erotic fiction does these things.
I know. I never masturbated. Never, never, never.
Because it was a sin.
It was a sin. And in 2006, I was on a business trip to San Francisco, and my friend Maggie took me to a sex toy shop, Good Vibrations, on Valencia in Mission. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I've been back.
Oh, God. You're like, oh, yeah, definitely.
So we go in there, and I am like, she said that I looked like I was seeing... She said my eyes were huge and I looked embarrassed and horrified, and I'm sure I did. So she walked around and she showed me all the different like vibrators and stuff to use. And she's like, you want to get this and you want to get this. And she's like, and to help yourself, what you do is you just Google some tasteful porn and you can watch that while you do what you do. And
well, did she use the term tasteful porn? I love that term.
Yes. Tasteful porn.
Amazing. Okay.
And because you don't want the stupid like pizza guy shows up. Hey,
those buddy. Have the best scripts though.
Yeah,
they really do.
And I sort of filed that away, and it wasn't until 2012 after my separation that I remembered the conversation and I knew where the toys were, and I was like, okay, we'll try this.
Wait, hang on. You bought these in 2006?
Yes.
And they just hung out?
Yeah. I had batteries and I put the batteries in.
So you like moved with these?
Yes.
Like they were very much a part of your life that you were aware of and just hung out. Okay, awesome. And they're like antique by the time you pull them out.
Yeah, and so I was by myself one night and I attempted what most people have attempted their entire lives, and I sent her a text and I was like, holy shit, it works. Who knew?
Are you kidding me? This is like 5 years ago. This is amazing.
Yes.
This is, I cannot wait to write the episode description for this episode. Oh, wow.
I was 36 years old, was the first time I masturbated. I'm not kidding.
Technically, you were still part of the church.
Yes, I was.
Wow.
Yeah. I was late to the game. And she texted back and she's like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Armstrong, has it taken you this long? And I was like, well, yeah.
Like 6 years. Oh my God.
And she was like, did it work? Like, does the device still work? And I'm like, well, I had batteries lying around. And
oh man. Oh, wow. So then it took you another 5 years to sign up for a tasteful porn website.
Yeah. Because there was a lot of tasteful porn on like Tumblr sites, and some of it gets just, you know, flagged and taken down. And so my go-to stuff, I'd have to find other go-to stuff.
This is amazing. Just keep going. This is excellent. My go-to stuff. That is rough when you got to find a new Tumblr porn site. Oh, wow.
I'm not going to get into the specifics of things, but like, I don't like the gross porn. Like, ugh. I don't even
That's
wanna,
what I was saying. There's a lot of weird shit out there.
There's a lot of gross, ugh. Like, yeah. I like the tasteful stuff. So
no pizza guys.
No pizza guys. No, like, crazy implants sort of thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Just taste.
We're going to stop. I'm going to stop talking.
I was just going to let it keep happening. So with that disclosure, I think you have just volunteered to also read erotic fiction. You might, maybe this new site actually has a fiction section. You should
maybe
look.
It does. Yes. I actually did read 50 Shades of Grey. I read that book from cover to cover. It was terrible.
I don't know how you did it. I did because when it came out, Heather read it. And I remember picking it up and reading just two pages because I couldn't really figure out what it was all about, like why it was such a big deal. It's fucking awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the writing is terrible. She did well. I'm happy for her. Like, it's fine. There's no way I could get through it.
Yeah, I muddled through it. And
you're like, yeah, okay. It was all right. This was actually pretty good.
They're having more sex. They're having more sex toys. Oh, there's the whip. Yep. There we go.
There's the whip. Oh, wow. And that book is also, is that what maybe made you remember that you'd also owned some for 6 years that you did twice?
Yeah, it was. It was okay. Like reading that book, I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Full circle.
Like it was that file that I had filed away in my brain. Like, wait a minute. Tasteful porn, huh? And so I Googled it.
Is that really what you Googled?
Yes.
Oh, amazing. This just keeps getting better. That is fantastic.
I mean, just last week, there was a Tumblr site that I would go to and it got taken down. Just last week. So, yeah, I'm volunteering. If we reach a certain number of patrons, I'm volunteering to read some porn or
tasteful, yes, am I.
Erotic fiction.
I don't even think that the erotic fiction has to be tasteful. It just has to be erotic fiction.
Okay.
And now that we've spent 10 minutes on your sex toy history, I think clearly our listeners know that this is something they need to support. Because who doesn't want to hear about that? It's like background content for Deuce.com.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, I think I wrote about it on my website that I hadn't masturbated until I was 36. Yeah.
Oh God. That is amazing.
And now it's, you know, I'm going to stop talking.
I'm pretty sure the way that you said that conveyed the entire message you were about to say anyway.
I am a healthy 42-year-old woman. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, God.
And a healthy 42-year-old woman, and everything that you've ever heard about women in their early 40s is absolutely 100% true. Like, I'm a testament. Yes. I'm raising my hand. Yes.
Well, and now we all know why you occasionally go back to San Francisco. Because I'm going to guess there are no sex toy shops in Salt Lake. Maybe I'm wrong.
I haven't explored that yet.
I honestly, I'm thinking you probably shouldn't.
Well, you can always go online and order.
Yeah, but
things.
I think going into one in Salt Lake, I don't know. Something about it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
If they have another anti-porn convention, though, you have to go.
I have to go Instagram story that shit.
You need
the public health crisis.
Put your sex toys on like a rope and hang them around your neck. Just go. Walk in and be ready to go. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Public health crisis.
Public health crisis.
We could totally go off in so many directions from that because that is... You know, I'm all about fighting porn if we fight the other shit first. Like, if there's nothing left to fight and we want to turn to porn, okay. But let's let that be for a little while.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to get into it.
I know. Now you've got a stake in it, though, because if porn is outlawed, there goes that membership.
I know.
See,
and then I have to find another go-to stuff.
You're going to have to be like, that's like dark web stuff right there.
The dark web.
I don't want to go there. The dark web. So yeah, a lot has happened. Wow. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I think when we originally were kind of planning some of our guests, we intentionally planned time between because so much happens. And somehow we ended up with two in a row, which was great. But then we don't catch up.
Then we catch up.
Yeah.
So part of the patronage is we want to hear, like, are you what kind of guests are you interested in us bringing on? And if you would like to be a guest, please contact us and let us know what you would like to talk about. Because this
Definitely.
Is a free, this is a free for all, man. Y'all just learned about my dildo.
So yeah, I was going to say, you know, at one point we maybe were going for a very parent friendly angle, but honestly, anything goes now, it seems.
This one's gonna have a red E next to it.
Yeah, which is basically all of them.
Hi, Ryan.
Ryan did not see this coming. I wish we could watch him edit this one. But I think once you become a patron, I think you can also comment. I think you have to be a patron to comment on Patreon. But mm-hmm. it would be great to see some discussion starting over there. Whether it's you want to be a guest, whether it's, you know, you have ideas for guests. And I know that we have some in email. And I've probably saved them in a folder, starred them or something, and I need to go back and look at those as well. But it would be great to hear some people weigh in on that and see where things go. And clearly, I mean, we've talked to people in policy. We've talked to people who teach. We've talked to musicians. I mean, it's a whole range. So who do you want to hear from?
Who do you want to hear from? I know my mother is on the list.
And yeah, you got to get that lined up.
I got to get that lined up. I got to get it set up for her. So
yeah. And we do have other people in mind too. And some other things lined up, but definitely that's one of the reasons we wanted to do Patreon was to give all of you, our listeners, the chance to be a bit more involved and have a say and know what's coming up and all of that. So definitely take advantage of it.
And we would appreciate any support that you could give us. That would be amazing to keep this up and running.
Absolutely.
To keep this up and running.
And in the meantime, if you have any questions about Patreon, about Heather's sex toys, about her tasteful porn, any of those things.
If you want to know the site that I went to, I might tell you at some point. Maybe.
See, so if you email and ask nicely... Because I'm gonna try to find out as soon as we stop recording, so everyone else might as well try. Then you can email us, as always, to stories@manicramblings.com. Or you can find us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and or Instagram @manicramblings.
Yes. And until next time, tasteful porn dildo.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
I wish to explain something that will help you understand your young manhood and help you develop self-control. When this power begins to form, it might be likened to having a little factory in your body, one designed to produce that substance that can generate life. This little factory moves quietly into operation as a normal and expected pattern of growth and begins to produce that life-giving substance. It will do so perhaps as long as you live. It works very slowly. That is the way it should be. For the most part, unless you tamper with it, you will hardly be aware that it is working at all. As you move closer to manhood, this little factory will sometimes produce an oversupply of this substance. the Lord has provided a way for that to be released. It will happen without any help, nor without any resistance from you. Perhaps one night you will have a dream, and in the course of it, the release valve that controls that little factory will open and release all that is excess. The factory and the automatic release valve works on its own schedule. The Lord intended it to be that way.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.